Welcome to episode 466 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by the digitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about consumer entertainment technology.
It's election night.
It is. So this is going to be a quick episode because we want to kind of get out of here. No, really.
It won't be.
No, really. But
it might be. We'll see. Richard's usually the one who's... never mind. But that the one impact that it really has on the show is that we're not doing the show live so that we can get back to our couches and watch election results because we're both political nerds. So yep. We're going to roll right into this. And as usual, we're going to start with some listener feedback. Got a couple messages from Paul and one from Robert. These all came to our email address, which is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com.
I'll read the first one from Paul, and this is in kind of reverse chronological order because this is his most recent message. He says, a few weeks ago, you guys mentioned the NASA TV app recently becoming available on, if I remember right, the Xbox question mark. Actually, it was the Roku, but good memory regardless. I thought I'd point out that the NVIDIA Shield TV also has a NASA app. I've installed it and it works great. I know this is kind of old news at this point. I'm a few weeks behind in my podcasts and I keep forgetting to send this to you, but I thought I'd point it out in case you weren't aware. I still enjoy your podcast. Keep up the great work, Paul. Thanks, Paul. And good to know it's also available on NVIDIA Shield. I know that they're trying to get out on more platforms, but actually there isn't an official NASA TV app on the Xbox. There is an unofficial NASA TV app that more or less just wraps the feed that they have available. So if you really do want NASA TV on your Xbox, you can get it. It's just not the official thing.
Okay. I might have to go and download this on my NVIDIA Shield TV.
There you go.
Sounds like fun. A lot of times on the weekends, I'm just looking for cool things to put on the TV while we're doing things around like cleaning or, house projects or whatever. And this would be a cool thing to put on.
Yeah, sometimes just pictures of what the space station is seeing or doing are kind of cool.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. Well, Paul also sent us another message. This one was from more than a week ago, but with how crazy last week was, we decided to hold off on this one. And it's a rather long message from Paul. So I'm just going to kind of cut it down a little bit to hit some of the things that he was trying to get at. The first thing was that he wanted to tell us he did go and use Xbox All Access to purchase a new Xbox One X. This is that program where you can essentially finance an Xbox One X plus Game Pass plus Xbox Live Gold for 2 years and pay no interest. It's a pretty sweet deal. One thing that he wanted to add that we didn't know about because Microsoft didn't say it when they announced the program is you can add extra things on when you go to the Microsoft store and purchase this. So he added a protection plan on. He also added the media remote to his order. And there's kind of no reason not to because you're not paying interest. So you're financing all of this stuff over the 2 years and it's still interest free and doesn't really impact the sweetness of that deal. So that's cool. He also wanted to know if we knew about the media remote. We do. We've mentioned it, but it's been a long, long time. I got the media remote basically as soon as it was available, because back when the Xbox One came out, I pre-ordered mine, got mine at launch, and the Xbox One became our only, it was our primary media device in the living room. So everyone used it for all of their TV consumption, and we used that little, pretty, and really useful media remote when that was the case. He also wanted to recommend the show Titans. We've mentioned this a little bit because it's part of that new service from DC Comics called DC Unlimited. He really likes the show and thinks that people who like some of those other like CW superhero shows like Flash and Daredevil, well, I guess Daredevil's Netflix, but those types of shows, that they would probably be into Titans also. DC Unlimited is a separate service that you have to pay for, but he reminds us that it does have a free 1 week trial for you to check it out. But unfortunately, according to him, they basically have no apps for things like your Xbox or your smart TVs and things like that. So he's been having to use Chromecast from his phone to be able to watch these on a TV. Richard, you're into some of these shows. Like you watch Arrow.
I watch Arrow, right? And I watch The Flash. I have recorded all of, what is the other one? The thing where they all go bouncing around in time. Legends of Tomorrow, I think. That's pretty much it. I haven't paid a whole lot of other attention to stuff that's going on in the TV realm. I don't watch Supergirl. I haven't watched this show at all. So I don't know. I still have a lot of Marvel stuff. I'm more of a Marvel guy, and I still have a lot of Marvel stuff to catch up on.
Yeah. Yep. In a specifically worded part to me in his message, he really, really wants me to try Sea of Thieves again. Paul is our resident Sea of Thieves fan. He loves Sea of Thieves. He knows that I'm not really all that into it and that I don't like the fact that it doesn't have much for story, which, like, that's not a knock against it. These types of games aren't typically heavy in story, but apparently they've been adding a lot of story content and lots of other stuff. So he'd really like me to try it again. I've still got Game Pass, so maybe I will. Maybe I should message Paul and ask him to get on a pirate ship with me and give this a try again. I don't know. He also says, Richard, TV Time had an update yesterday. This is that app to bring our listeners back up to speed. This is that app that, Richard, you use for keeping track of what shows you've watched and stuff. Right. And apparently Paul uses this too. He says, I've been on the beta for it for about a month and it's nice. You just have to get used to it. That sounds like it's got some issues, but once you get used to it, it's fine. He says they also made it so you can add unlimited favorites. This is great because of how they rank and show you new shows.
Yeah.
Each show you follow adds 1 point to their matching system. Favorites get 2 points, and they use these points in an algorithm that factors in everything. The style of show, whether it's drama, comedy, sci-fi, etc., the actors, the crew, and even the network. It will notice if you start liking shows on networks not even in America. That's how I found the show Humans, which is a must-watch. They are working on a movie catalog and group chats and watch parties. I cannot recommend this app enough. Josh, which he types in all caps, Josh, get this app with us. I've missed several The Good Place quizzes because I didn't have a partner.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I suppose I could have helped him out there. Maybe I should get this just to help out with The Good Place quizzes. I just don't watch that much TV. That's why I don't have this app. But maybe I should check this out. And then lastly, he says, Josh, this time he's not yelling at me, Josh, just get Hulu for like $7. You can get no commercials and watch shows like The Good Place and not get aggravated like I had been getting so aggravated by using the Plex DVR. So, Paul, you're right. I should just get Hulu and I will stop being frustrated. You're absolutely right. But if I wasn't getting frustrated by Plex DVR, how could I report on Plex DVR? If it's the only show I'm really watching, I need something to test it with. So I will continue to be frustrated by Plex DVR for you, for all of you listeners, so that I can accurately report on Plex DVR.
One might argue that a test case of one show isn't really a good example of how well Plex DVR works, but...
may be true. I do record other shows. I just don't watch them as regularly.
Yeah, I noticed the update to TV Time, and I'm glad that there are some more updates coming, specifically that favorites thing, because previously they only let you have 6 favorite shows. Oh. Like 6 all-time favorite shows.
Huh.
That's really hard to do.
Right.
That's really hard to do. I ended up having to kind of like bump some out as I was going through previously watched series, realizing, oh, right, yeah, Battlestar Galactica, way better than anything else that I have on this list already.
Right.
You know,
but
so,
sorry, Cheers, you've got to go to make room. Like, how do you bump shows like that, you know? Cheers or MASH or...
I mean, yeah, those weren't really huge for me, but... I mean, really? You know, Superstore, for example, I think is one of the most brilliant shows I've seen in a long time. And so that is in one of my top six.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize you liked it that much. You've been talking about it a lot, but I didn't think you liked it that much.
The West Wing, obviously.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That's right? Got to be in there.
I mean, if you had to figure out what are your five or six top, that's a hard thing to do. So I'm glad they opened that up. All right. One more message. This is from Robert. It's a little long because we actually went back and forth a little bit, and he came back with a solution to his problem that he posed to us. Love this. This is awesome.
That's great.
So he wrote and he says, as always, love the show and the information and entertainment you guys provide. I've recently switched over to Plex DVR after hearing your recommendations and have been having an issue that I'm hoping you can help me with. I've set up some recordings, and for most shows, everything works as planned, but for a few series, the recording priority will say no upcoming airings and thus not schedule any recordings for that show. This is despite the guide displaying airings and showing that they're scheduled to record. And then he says this is happening specifically with the new Charmed series. He also says, don't judge. You know, I can't judge, right? I watch Big Brother. You guys know that. So the interesting thing about the Charmed series is that there was an older series named Charmed. More on that in a minute. So getting back to his message, he says, I've set the advanced setting for the series to new and repeat, allow partial recordings, any resolution, any channel, any airing time, all to no avail. I'm at my wit's end with this one and ready to switch back to Media Center, which, barring that lingering threat of losing guide data, does its most basic function of recording a show when I tell it to. It wouldn't be so bad if I could just tell Plex, record a specific channel for a specific time frame without having to schedule the recording by picking shows, but I haven't found that feature. I think it's because it really doesn't exist yet. It's all show-based.
Mm-hmm.
I also thought there might be some naming conflicts with the original Charmed series, so I removed those episodes from my library, but the same behavior remains. Any help you could provide will be greatly appreciated. Thanks. He was absolutely on the right track. You know, I've talked about problems recording Hawaii Five-0. I've had problems recording Magnum PI. These series that have old versions of the same name series almost always have problems on Plex. Almost always. And what's weird is it's a little bit different in the guide data than it is in how it handles the recorded versions once you record them. His problem was a little bit of a hybrid, like a combination of those things. And I did some research on the forums and found that other people were absolutely having this problem with this show in particular. I sent him some information that I found, and he got back to me, and here's what he found and his resolution. He said, the problem ended up being a naming issue, where Plex thought the new series and the old series were the same thing, despite whatever naming scheme I used. Since Plex saw the episode already there, it wouldn't schedule a recording. As I mentioned, I'd previously removed the old series from Plex, but I left the files where they were. The temporary fix was to completely move the folders containing the original show away from Plex monitored folders, rescan the library, empty the trash, and afterwards, Plex immediately started scheduling the series. That's messed up, dude. Right?
Super messed up.
How? And this is a really interesting problem, right? Because our metadata that we're using for this stuff is keyed by the name of the series and apparently nothing else.
Well, but a lot of times you can put, like Battlestar Galactica would theoretically have this problem too, if it was still on.
Yep.
Because there was the season back in 1979, I think, and then 2004. And the way to fix that is to put 2004 in parentheses for the good show. And
the problem is the guide data isn't done that way.
So can he just not have the old Charmed series?
That's right. It can't be in. It can't be in that library, or it's going to see it. It can't be in the shows that it's Plex is aware of, or it's going to assume it's been recorded already. How crazy is that?
It's super dumb. Super dumb.
Yep. So hopefully this is something they look into fixing.
Yeah. So he could put it in a different library then, theoretically.
I don't know about that. I honestly don't know about that.
Because I know some people, I think you might do this with your Plex library, and I had done this, made separate libraries for like archived TV shows, and then a separate library for all the new stuff coming in through Plex DVR. So I wonder if that would fix this problem. Because he probably still wants to have access to the old shows. It's Alyssa Milano, for crying out loud.
Is it? I don't know. I didn't watch the show.
Yeah. Yep. Jen used to love that show. And I had, I couldn't say anything bad because if I wandered into the living room and she was watching Charmed, I was like, ooh, Alyssa Milano, I'll watch this.
Yeah, I get that. All right.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And Robert, more importantly, thank you for getting back with us with your solution, because I'm sure this will help other people who are experiencing similar problems. So thank you very much.
Yes. And also definitely make sure that Plex knows about the problem that you're experiencing so that they can hopefully fix it. All right, let's move on to some news this week. We've got a little bit of sad news, I guess, if you're actually one of the few people who are using this functionality, because Microsoft and Xbox are removing a feature from their mobile apps. And that is, Richard, do you remember almost 3.5 years ago, Microsoft released, in partnership with Hopog, a USB TV tuner for the Xbox One.
I do totally remember this.
So I had one of these. It's a single tuner, over-the-air tuner, and it worked fine. It worked better than fine because the Xbox One has that one guide that pulls in live TV guide data information and offered a pretty nice interface for all that stuff. It worked pretty well. And then at the same time, when they released this functionality, they also allowed you to stream live TV from your Xbox to other devices that were running at the time what was called the Xbox Smart Glass app. It's been that's a little bit of a blast from the past to bring up that name. The Smart Glass app on Windows PCs, or which at the time was Windows 8 PCs.
Wow.
Because that was just a little bit before Windows 10 came out, or iOS or Android phones. And then a little bit later, after this came out, Microsoft made everybody happy at Gamescom that August and said, hey, we're working on a DVR that'll run on your Xbox. And we were thrilled. Unfortunately, about 6 months after that, they scrapped that plan entirely. We do not have a DVR from Microsoft running on our Xboxes. Well, now we're losing something else. This is not just losing a feature that they never released, but actually losing a feature that some people were using, and that is the ability to stream that live TV to your mobile apps. So if you have one of these tuners and you've been using it to watch TV, and especially if you've been using it to stream live TV to an iOS or an Android device, then you probably got a message from Microsoft on your Xbox within the last few days that said, basically, sorry, but in the next 30 days, this feature is going away. Not going to be able to do this anymore, at least not on your Android and iOS devices. It will still continue to work on Windows 10 PCs. The Xbox app on Windows 10 will still allow you to stream that, but I got to wonder how much longer that's going to work.
How long exactly?
Yeah. Right. I have to assume that this decision comes down to usage numbers. There have to be so few people that are actually using this functionality, and every feature inside of an app requires upkeep and maintenance. Like, having code in an app means that as you continue to work on the app, you've got to make sure that that stuff still works as you release new versions. And if people aren't using those features. Sometimes it's just easier to rip those features out of your app and not have to worry about maintaining them any longer. And I have to guess that that's what is going on with this particular feature.
Yeah, it's weeding. I mean, it just doesn't make sense for them to maintain this, particularly if they're continuing to upgrade the overall platform for Xbox and continuing to improve that. And this is basically technical debt for them.
Here's a thought I just had. The thing that a lot of people have been wanting for a long time on those mobile apps, and that we thought we would get when this was announced, was the ability to stream games and stuff like that to mobile devices. Because you can pair an Xbox controller, a Bluetooth Xbox controller, to an Android device, and you can pair an Xbox controller to your Windows 10 PC and then stream your Xbox to your Windows 10 PC and play games that way. But you can't do that with a mobile device. And I'm wondering, maybe getting rid of this TV streaming allows them to pipe in some new streaming technology that would make that more feasible. That would be really cool.
That's such a lovely thought.
Isn't it? But we know Microsoft is working on video game streaming technology. So maybe this isn't completely crazy.
It isn't completely crazy, except I'm not convinced that they need or necessarily should. And I'm going to use this word, and I don't mean it in its worst sense, but pander to the interests of mobile platforms for gaming when they have a really good gaming device. I don't know that this works in their favor. I don't know.
Well, but it's not like they're doing any harm to the Xbox by doing this.
Right.
It's allowing people to play their Xbox,
their Xbox
more.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know how that's.
I just used this functionality this weekend.
What do you mean?
The game streaming to a Windows PC.
Oh, to your window. Okay, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, I don't know. It'd be cool. It'd be really nice. I think a lot of people would be happy if that's what they announced.
Hmm.
There would be more people happy about that than people who were sad about this announcement.
That is absolutely true. Yes, I will give that to you. All right. We have another video story, and this one's a little bit weird. I was playing around with a tool that came out a couple months ago, actually, from the folks at Signify. It's the Philips Hue Sync app. And the Philips Hue Sync app is an application for Windows and Mac that will synchronize the Philips Hue devices that you have in your home or in your entertainment center or office or bedroom or whatever to whatever happens to be going on your computer. Now, immediately, the first thing that I thought of is, wow, this would have been great back with my HTPC. But I kind of don't use that anymore.
Right.
But it would be really cool. And if you're still using a home theater PC, this is kind of ideal for that because you can set up the lights in your entertainment area and you actually use your iOS and Android app that you use to control Hue to define different entertainment areas. So you can create the entertainment area in your, say, family room or living room or wherever you have your home theater PC, and you can have it automatically sync to what's playing there. Now, what if you don't have a home theater PC? Like, oh, right, most people in the world. I'll bet one of the things that you have and that you probably do occasionally is stream content from a laptop to your television. And if you don't do it, you might have a reason to do it now. Let's say you installed the Hue Sync application on your laptop, and then you used AirPlay or Miracast or Chromecast to basically play content on your laptop and mirror it to your television. Now, Hue Sync is doing all the work on your laptop, but it's in the room where you have your TV because you're streaming it to the room where you have your TV. You define that room as your entertainment area. And what Hue Sync does is it syncs up all the lights to what's going on the TV. Now, what do I mean by that? This isn't kind of like that sci-fi app where you can have, for example, your lights flash whenever there's lightning, or go red whenever the Sharknado shark bites something. It's more geared from, or more driven from, the colors that are on your television. And what's really clever about it is when you set up your entertainment area, you tell it where in the room your lights are in relation to you and in relation to the television. So if you have a light behind the television, you can tell it that. If you have stuff to the left or the right, if you have something behind you. And then what it does is it uses the colors in the various areas of the screen to influence the colors and intensity of the lights around your room as you're watching it. It's a little bit like, if you remember this, another throwback to roughly the same era, the Philips Ambilight television, which, believe it or not, they've actually come out with again. There's now an OLED version of that. But the idea was that whatever you were watching would be kind of replicated in color from these reflective lights that were in the back of the television. And ultimately, it actually gives you a more pleasing viewing experience because you're not just watching in darkness. And you kind of spread the tones that are on the screen around your room, and it's easier on your eyes. It's also a really, really cool effect. And you have the ability to adjust how intense it is. And it also works with gaming. It'll work with music. And with music, you just select like what color palette you want to use. And again, define how intense you want it to be, like if it's crazy or if it's just the beat or something like that. This is a really cool app. I didn't really give it a whole lot of attention previously. And so I had some time to really play with it and test it out. Wrote some stuff up about it out on the DMZ, and I'd suggest that you check that out if you're interested, and it's free. So you can just go to the Philips site. We have a link in our article about it, and download it and try it yourself.
That's so cool. I love the fact that it works with the casting or the streaming way of doing things. Because like I said, there aren't a lot of people with real home theater PCs anymore, but a lot of people are streaming video.
Absolutely. And the trick to making that work is you have to mirror. Like if you just stream and it's not actually showing up on your laptop, then it's not going to work. So you have to mirror your display, and you can do that on AirPlay. You can do that on Miracast, and some mirroring apps work that way in Chromecast.
Cool. Very, very cool. All right, on to some audio news. This is going to be a quick one. Basically, a quick tip. We've got all the details over an article on the DMZ. If you're a Spotify user, or if you've been thinking about getting Spotify and you're using the family plan, well, you can get a free Google Home Mini just for having a Spotify Premium for Family account. Real quick recap on what that is. It's Spotify Premium, so it's full access to all of the Spotify stuff for 6 individual accounts. Individual meaning, you know, you're sharing it with your spouse and your children, and everybody has their own playlist, their own recommendations. No one's crappy music choices are impacting yours.
Now, technically, their definition of 6 accounts for a family are all at the same physical address.
Right. Yep. Yep.
So the kid off to college doesn't technically count.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about that. That's pretty much the gist of it. Like, if you have Spotify Premium for Family, get a free Google Home Mini. You've got until the end of the year to do it. The really, really cool thing about this, I think, or at least the surprising thing about it, is it's not just for new customers. I've been a Spotify Premium for Family subscriber for over a year and was able to go and claim my free Google Home Mini. So all the details and links to how to do this are over at the DMZ. Go and get yours, because guys, it's Spotify for 6 accounts for $15 a month. And like, even if you don't care about Spotify, go and sign up and get a Google Home Mini for $15.
Well, right? Is it only 1 month that you have to stay subscribed to qualify for this?
I don't even know if you can do longer term contracts.
Yeah, I don't know. This is the amazing thing on this is that, oh, and if you're already doing it, yeah, we'll send you one. That's just crazy.
Yeah, right. No one does that. Yeah, that's a really awesome promotion.
Very, very cool. All right. Also in audio news, a quick update on the Sonos ecosystem. A lot of people have been wondering, on the Sonos One, we already have the ability to use our Amazon Assistant to call up music and even just use it as you normally would in Echo and do anything else that you can do. Well, most things that you can do with an Echo. And they were wondering, what about Google Assistant? Because at one point in time, Sonos said, we're going to support multiple assistants, including Amazon and Google, and it hasn't been happening. And they've been really quiet about it. Well, they put a blog post out just this past week, and they announced that, in fact, they are still doing this, and they are going to be making it available not this year, like they had originally discussed and like people were anticipating, but sometime in 2019. And that's the best they're saying at this point, sometime in 2019. In fact, their exact language is something along the lines of, we'll be nailing down a date in 2019 at some point. Like, they're not even at the point where they can put a date on the calendar, but they're doing it for the right reasons. The right reason is that it's not working the way that they want it to, and they want the experience to be good. So, as a part of that, they are opening up a, well, opening up, they are establishing a closed beta that they will be accepting people into if you are, if they are very, very active Google Assistant and Sonos users. And I mean like crazy active, like you have to use your Sonos system at least like 20 times a week. You have to use your Google Assistant at least 10 times a day. They have some pretty high expectations for the beta participants. But if this sounds like you and you've been dying to get the Google Assistant on a Sonos One, then follow the link that we have in our post about this. Again, this is another thing I wrote about this past week, and you can sign up for their beta. It's going to be very competitive. They're only taking a couple hundred people up front, and then in a couple of months, they're going to open it to a couple thousand people. But you might want to sign up. It sounds like a pretty good chance to get in early if you're really interested in this and you want to provide them with early feedback and make this as good as it can be. Because so far, their implementation of Amazon's Assistant on the Sonos One is fantastic. In fact, I would tell you that I would tell you when I call her name from the kitchen, standing right next to my brand new second generation Dot, my Sonos One in the laundry room, 20 some feet away, responds before the Dot does.
Wow.
It's a really good implementation of the Assistant. So I think they have a good chance of getting a fantastic implementation of the Google Assistant as well.
And so obviously the Sonos One, in terms of audio quality, is way better than an Echo.
Way, I mean, it's way
light years above an Echo Dot, yep. Obviously. But even the full Echo, it's way better, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost twice as much, but it's like, I think they're what, like $190?
They're $199.
Maybe $200? Okay. If someone was really looking for an Echo device and their main focus was music, would you tell them just spend the extra money on a Sonos One?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't think I would. I don't know. Just because the new Echo Dot, even though it's slower, it's going to be $25 or $30 during the holidays. And it sounds...
Yeah, but if you're doing this for music...
Yeah, I know, but get two of them and make a stereo pair out of it, and it's not that bad. And, oh, yeah, it's not the best quality, but we're like a decade past the MP3 generation, right? Like, we gave up on sound quality long ago for the masses, I think. Now, if you really care about sound quality, then yes. But if you just want audio in a room, honestly, I think two paired Dots are going to sound pretty darn good.
Wow. That's not what I expected
you
to say at all.
I know. And because I'm a Sonos fanboy, I love their products. Now, on the other hand, if you've really been holding back on Sonos because you're like, yeah, but I don't want one that's black and I don't want one that's white. That's so boring. What I really want is like kind of like a 50s retro pale yellow speaker. You are in luck because just this week, Sonos made available a limited time collection of five color speakers, five color Sonos Ones. And there's like a pink version, there's a hunter green version, there's a yellow one, and I forget what the other colors are. But I mean, I'm joking about it, but it's actually kind of nice that you could now get a speaker that will fit perhaps more subtly in the environment where you're going to put it.
Or if you don't want one that's subtle at all, they have a limited edition Beastie Boys Sonos Play 5.
Oh, yeah. Now, it's the Play 5, so it's muchos expensive. Plus, it's a special edition, so it's more expensive than muchos expensive. Also, by the way, it's kind of hideous. I mean, that's just my opinion. Yeah,
it's ugly. It is ugly. But it's the Beastie Boys, yep. So yeah. All right, let's move on to some gaming news. Not a ton here tonight, but a little bit here, and a question for all of our listeners who are into gaming stuff after the news. So first the news, Xbox finally bringing us a feature that we've been waiting what feels like forever for, and it feels like a feature that should have just been there from the beginning. Wishlist, it's coming. In fact, if you're an Xbox insider, you might already have it on your Xbox and don't even know it. But if not, it's coming to everybody within the next few weeks. Also, a shopping cart, like a real shopping cart, so you can add multiple things to your cart at once. You want to buy Call of Duty and an Xbox Elite controller? You can do that all at once. I'm not sure how useful that really is, but you could also just add things to your cart and maybe buy some things and save other things for later. That's something we see on Amazon and things like that, which you can probably do now because the shopping cart functionality is supposed to be available everywhere, at least on the web and on Windows 10 and on Xbox One. But the wish list is the functionality that's only available on the Xbox for insiders right now. So you've got the save for later functionality, at least. Wishlist, like there's not a lot to say there. We know what adding things to a wishlist means. But it sounds like they are doing one really important thing here. When you've added a bunch of stuff to your wishlist, which you're doing because, that game sounds cool, but I don't want to buy it at full price, I'll wait for a sale. Yeah. When it goes on sale, it's going to have special badging and stuff in your wishlist. So it's super obvious what games in your wishlist are on sale. So get ready. Like, this is the time of the year when wishlist come in handy the most, because Black Friday is rolling around, and around the end of the year, those are two of the biggest sales in the Xbox store. So load up your wishlist now as soon as you can. And then once those sales hit, you don't have to go through the huge long blog post that lists every game that's on sale. Just look at your wish list and the games that you wanted that are on sale, buy them from your wish list. One other really cool thing, the Xbox store is not just the Xbox store. The store is a completely integrated experience on the Xbox, Windows 10, and the web. So if you're sitting at your computer at work, obviously on your lunch break is when you would be reading about new games that are coming out. You wouldn't be doing this when you're supposed to be working, but you read about a new game and think, that's kind of cool. Put it in your wish list in your browser. And then when you get home, and maybe it's a few days later or whatever, you can buy it on your Xbox because it's a shared ecosystem. It's all available everywhere. So I'm pretty excited about that. Like, it seems crazy to be excited about a wish list, but it is the way that I buy games on PC through Steam. It's how most Steam players buy games on Steam, I think. So I'm really excited to have this finally coming to the Xbox.
I think the one thing that you're forgetting about, as we've been so, I don't know what the word is, I guess, used to the concept of wish lists in our digital world, where we basically keep them as bookmarks for all intents and purposes.
Right.
The real idea of a wish list in the analog world is you let people know what it is you want. And they're also supporting that capability by allowing you to share your wish list.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point that I forgot to mention. Yep. Yeah, because was it last year, earlier this year, they introduced gifting of games. So you could share your wish list and then people can very easily gift those games to you. So yeah, that's a great point. All right. Other piece of news. This is on the, you know, it's election night. So we've got to cover both sides equally, right? So we've got one Xbox story. Now we've got a PlayStation story.
Nice.
It's not red versus
nice
blue.
Play.
It's green versus blue and it's video games. Because Nintendo doesn't count, they're red. That would mess that up, because then you'd have three. So just Sony and Xbox here.
Right, right. That's exactly what happens.
Right. Anyway. PUBG, one of the biggest games of the last year and a half or so, last December came to consoles as a console exclusive on Xbox. Well, now a whole lot of sites are starting to report that it looks like that exclusivity is coming to an end and that we should be seeing PUBG on PlayStation 4 in December. December would make a lot of sense. 1 year exclusivity deals are pretty common in the gaming world. People are seeing media like artwork and stuff on Sony servers. This looks legit, like it's really coming. The big question, of course, will be how's it going to run? Because on regular Xboxes, like aka not the Xbox One X, it's still not great. It's way better than it was when it first launched, but it's still not great. How's it going to run on a regular PlayStation 4? Don't know. It's not like the PlayStation 4 is drastically better than the original Xbox One or the One S. So how's it going to run? How's it going to run compared to the Xbox? How will the PS4 Pro performance compare to the One X? We'll have to wait and see. I'm sure once it's released, Digital Foundry will break it all down and have all sorts of great tech specs for us to pour over if you're into that sort of thing. But real interesting, especially considering that later this week is Microsoft's big XO event. It's a big press and fan event that's happening in Mexico City this weekend. And Microsoft announced that they're going to have big PUBG news. So they're going to try and keep at it. So will PUBG land on PlayStation 4 but not have all of the things that Xbox is going to have? Don't know. But very interesting times indeed for PUBG fans. All right, that's it for our gaming news. Before we get into the deals and free games and all that stuff, I want to know, how much do you care about me recommending gaming deals to you all? I normally go through the deals with gold from the Xbox side and the PS Plus specials on the PlayStation side and dig out a game or two that I recommend, but How often do you like that? Would you rather just have the links for you to go peruse them yourself? Maybe you don't care about any of the games that I care about and my recommendations aren't useful. So should I even be spending my time picking games for you and then you spending time listening to me describe those picks for you? Let me know. Shoot us an email, sound off in the comments section on the show. We want to know if you want to keep this segment in the show. We are going to keep talking about the free games. We're not going to go
free.
Over... Right, because free. Yeah, because you should just get them. We're not going to go over Games with Gold. We did that last week. But this week, we now have the PlayStation Plus free games for November. I'm a few weeks ago had decided we're not going to cover Vita games anymore. I'm going to make an exception to that here. But I am deciding that I'm not covering PlayStation 3 games anymore because Sony doesn't give you backwards compatibility, and who wants to pull out the PS3? You can't play the games on your PS4. Who cares? So your free PS4 games are Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition. Bulletstorm is a super arcadey, ridiculous first-person shooter. Like, it's a first-person shooter with a point system. We're not talking Call of Duty or PUBG here, folks. And the Full Clip Edition means it's Bulletstorm plus all of the DLC, so that's pretty sweet. The other game is Yakuza Kiwami. This is a remake of the original Yakuza game, which has huge, you know, a huge following. I've never played any of the Yakuza games. If I had PS Plus, then I might go and get this game for free. But I don't pay for PS Plus, so I probably won't be checking this out. But that is your other free PS4 game. The other two that I'm going to point out are Vita games, but I'm going to point them out because they have PS4 cross-buy, which means they're also free on PlayStation 4. And one of them is called Roundabout. It looks terrible and ridiculous. It's like a 70s B movie as a game where you're a limousine driver in a limousine that just spins. It looks really dumb. But I guess it's free, so I guess you could check it out anyway. The other one is a game called Burly Men at Sea, and it's got a really fun art design to it. It's a little bit puzzly. It's on a bunch of other platforms. It's on PC. I believe it's even on mobile platforms. This is a game that I've got in, I think it's in my Steam wish list, as a matter of fact. It looks really cool and really fun, and it's supposed to actually have a really interesting story for a small puzzly sort of game. So that is also a Vita / PS4 cross-buy game. So those are your free PlayStation Plus games for November. And
that's it for the news. So Richard,
yeah, what's going on in the entertainment center?
All right, so the only Plex news we have this week is that my Plex is giving me all kinds of crap.
Oh, no.
So I've had a bunch of problems, and I've been in touch with Plex about some of them. The first thing is a problem that they know about but haven't yet fixed, and it's unbelievable to me that this hasn't been corrected. In a recent, and by recent, I mean several weeks old now, release of Plex on the Apple TV, there is a bug that prevents you from getting the information menu that appears when you press and hold the OK button on your remote. On the Apple TV, that's the only way to delete a show.
It's like the only way to do anything, because there's only like one button on that whole remote control, right?
Yeah, if you want to go from like a show to the whole series, or if you want more information or whatever else, you press and hold and you get the menu of options, and that isn't working, and it hasn't been working for weeks, and this is ludicrous that you cannot actually use your main interface on the television to delete recorded shows. I cannot believe that they have not prioritized a fix to this yet. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Another problem that I'm having on the Apple TV, and I think that this is, I suspect that this is related because it started happening roughly around the same time, is that I am choking when I'm trying to watch recordings that I've made when I play them back on the Apple TV. If I play the shows back on Xbox, they play fine. So nothing's changed in how I record things. Nothing's changed in what the Apple TV can support. But it seems to be, from what I can tell, getting held up anytime there's like a video glitch, like maybe a problem with a signal or something. It just stops playing and it can't recover. And I don't know what's going on. So I've been using my Xbox a lot more to play back recorded shows. Now, that's all well and good, except that a while ago, I decided that I wanted to use Plex to play back some music in my music library. And I didn't finish the song that I was listening to. I just paused it and shut down the Xbox. And now every time I start Plex, it starts replaying the song that was paused. Even though I'm not going into music, even though it wasn't playing when I stopped it, because there was something in now playing, it's just assuming that I want to hear that, and it comes on really loud for some reason. And the only way that I could fix, and I'll put that in air quotes, fix this problem, was that I had to play the song through and let it end.
What?
Now it doesn't do it anymore.
That's the fix?
That's another bug, as far as I'm concerned. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Not cool.
All right. I have been watching a bunch of TV. This Is Us in New Amsterdam, keeping up with them, loving them. Superstore, Modern Family, and Big Bang Theory continue to be amusing. The Conners continues to be good. I finished the current season of Better Call Saul, kind of binged on that this past weekend, and I got back to American Gods, the first season, because the second season is going to be starting. First season remains as weird as it ever was. I don't know if I'll watch the second series. First one's really disturbing and weird, but yeah, whatever. I decided to try something. I decided to go back to listening to Spoiler in Time because they were talking about things that I've watched through now.
Mm.
So I can't be spoiled ahead. So I finished the season of Better Call Saul. I've completely watched their series that they're watching as their catalog series now, which is Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency. You may remember me talking about that a while back. And their discussion on that was so much more enjoyable to me when they're speculating about what's going to happen when I know that either it is or it isn't, and I don't care that they're talking about it because I know what's going to happen.
Mm.
So okay. I might end up starting to listen to that again, but only under those conditions, only when I've already watched the season through or watched a series through, so that I'm not kind of dealing with getting spoiled ahead with their speculation on what's going on. Because that just really, as far as I'm concerned, killed Westworld for me.
Mm-hmm. Which they admit ruins Westworld when that's how people watch the show.
Right. Yeah. So whatever. So the other thing that I wanted to mention is that my discounted $5 a month HBO service that I was watching on Hulu had ended, that just ended last week. So I canceled it because I set a calendar reminder for those sorts of things. And you should do that too if you ever take advantage of a limited time discount, and canceled it before I was going to get billed for a regular month of service. So I still have HBO on cable, and now my HBO is costing more on cable. So in a couple of weeks, I'm probably going to have to do some cutting of services on my cable bill because it went up by about $30 and I'm not happy about it.
Wow.
Yeah. All the special deals that I had when I started out, they all expired. So I have to, you know, threaten to start cutting stuff and then they'll give me more deals. That's how that works, basically.
Usually.
Yep. All right. I am using the TV Time app. You can follow what I'm watching there at R. Gunther. Let me know if you want to follow me because I'm not an open account. Josh, you're probably going to be joining TV Time, but let's just assume that you haven't yet. And I don't know what you've been watching.
Yeah, I've been watching hockey and college football, which college football is fantastic this weekend. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go Michigan. Go Alabama.
You know,
loved it.
Penn State
great.
Lost to Michigan. I don't want to hear it.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They
I was actually
do.
Disappointed by that. Well, yeah. I was really hoping that would be a much better game. Like, I wanted Michigan to win, obviously, but I wanted it to be a close game, and it wasn't. Penn State forgot to show up. In terms of gaming, yeah, because I didn't get to watch The Good Place yet. So I'm now I'm going to end up being a week behind on The Good Place, which is no fun because I love that show. Absolutely love that show. It's so funny. Yeah. Anyway, video games. Nothing new here, really. You know, playing a little bit of Call of Duty Black Ops 4 when I've got time. Always trying to make some time for some more NHL. Played more Overcooked 2, the DLC. I don't know what the name of the DLC pack is, but I've been playing that with my coworkers on our lunch break to try and get through that. Overcooked is so much fun. Oh, I also tried playing Overcooked with my daughters. My kids are not gamers. it's not going well. The youngest, the 5-year-old, it just didn't work out well at all for her. And then the 10-year-old, who still isn't a gamer and just really hasn't come to grips with using an Xbox controller. Man, we tried playing the very first level of Overcooked 3 times and could not get 3 stars together. And she, you know, the first time we played that level, she's like, man, that was hard. Like, it was the first level. It's way harder than this. So I don't know. I might have to let the dream of gaming with my children die, because every time I try, it doesn't really work out all that well. So we'll see. And then the other game I did play some more of, Until Dawn, that scary horror game on PlayStation 4. I'm now about halfway through. Some people have now died, finally. Like, kind of seems like finally, because it's a horror movie game. People are supposed to die in horror movies, and it seemed like it took a while for some people to actually die. So they did. The game is creepy. A lot of jump scares, which may or may not be your thing, but it's fun, and I'm hopefully going to finish that soonish. But other than that, that's it. That's all I got going on. No hardware stuff, no other TV stuff. That's it for me.
All right, and that's it for us. We're out of here.
We are out of here. So if you want to find us, we're on Twitter, at Richard Gunther for that guy, at Josh Pollard for me, at DigiMediaZone for the website. All the rest of our contact information, all the information about our other podcast over at thedigitalmediazone.com. Head over there, subscribe to everything, and check it out. We've had a lot of news over there lately. And then come back and listen to the show live on Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, as long as it's not election night in America.
Or maybe next week. We still haven't figured out what we're doing next week. I'm in Eastern Europe. We're 8 hours apart.
Oh, right. So you'll just record with me at like 2:30 in the morning, right?
No.
Okay, I guess I'll have to figure that one out. So until next week, that's going to do it for episode 466. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Bye.